had an epiphany Saturday morning, and I've thought about it for 2 nights, 3 days. Hey, LeBron.
NBA and the AM is here.
We're all good.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright. All right.
Hello, I'm Marcus Gray.
Oh, and I'm Gavin Evans.
And this is NBA in the AM on WMFO. This is our first episode of this show. We're both tough students.
We're both freshmen.
Both freshmen. I'm from New York and Gavin is from...
I'm from Washington, D.C.
We're both big basketball fans. I'm a big Knicks fan and a big Clippers fan. And
I'm a very big Sixers fan.
Yeah. So this show, we're just going to be, like, talking about biggest NBA news of the week, happenings, who fell off, who's having a big season.
Yeah, and because this is our first show, and the season doesn't start until our show next week, we're going to focus mainly today on the off season and all the biggest moves and the biggest winners and losers.
Yeah. It was a really big off season, actually. Okay. So it was a really big offseason this year. We had a couple of teams make pretty big moves. Specifically, the Celtics had a really big offseason. KD to the Rockets. The Knicks. Orlando also had a pretty big season with Desmond Bane trade. Atlanta, pretty big offseason. And there were some underwhelming offseasons also. We saw a lot of buyouts this season, so we're just going to go through. Give a recap of what every team did this offseason. So first, the Atlanta Hawks. They actually had a pretty good offseason. They saw the signing of Nickeil Alexander-Walker via sign-and-trade, 4-year deal. They took him away from Minnesota, which was a pretty big loss. Nickeil was pretty good last year for the Wolves, right, Gavin?
Yeah, you know, fun fact about him, he's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's cousin, reigning MVP. A little fun fact of the day.
Last season, he averaged 9.4 points, 3.2 rebounds, and 3 assists, half a steal, 38% from 3, though.
It's pretty good.
Not off the books guy, not big stats guy, but plus defender, good guy to have. Also got Luke Kennard for a 1-year deal. Solid signing. And they got Kristaps Porzingis from a 3-team trade, which is their most interesting move so far this season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's if he's healthy, which is a very big if after this past season, I think he could be a really big addition for him or for the Hawks. But if he keeps up with the mysterious health issues he had last season with the Celtics,
yeah.
Like, when he missed basically the entire playoffs run last year, then he could be really a non-factor for them. So that's one we have to wait and see on.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If all of their guys are healthy, they got a pretty elite squad.
Yeah, I would agree. They did have some notable losses in free agency, though. I think Clint Capella and Caris LeVert are probably the two biggest on there.
Yeah. Definitely, but they got a good team. They surrounded Trey Mann with a bunch of really elite defenders. They could have an interesting year, especially in the East and the current condition it is in, which is...
Yeah, with the East being the way it is now, it's anyone's ballgame.
Yeah.
So they do have a shot at a top 3 seed this season, I'd say. I don't know if I'd put them in 1 or 2, but you could definitely make an argument for 3.
No, definitely. Next, the Celtics. So, sorry to our Celtics fan. The year end in pretty tragic fashion with Jason Tatum tearing his Achilles, and the Celtics losing to the Knicks in, was it six? In six. So the Celtics had a pretty explosive offseason. They pretty much blew up their core, starting for like a soft rebuild slash year off this year. So we saw Drew Holiday get traded to the Blazers. Al Horford lost to the Warriors in free agency.
And Luke Kornet to the Spurs. That's Luke a Kornet, big loss. Yeah.
Porzingis to the Hawks, as we talked about. What's happening with the Celtics, Gavin?
Yeah, so there's a lot going on there. Jason Tatum is probably the most important bit of that. He obviously tore his Achilles during the playoffs, so that's a very rough time to have an injury like that, because normally, for any normal person, that would mean you have to miss the entire upcoming season. There has been some talk from Tatum that he would like to come back closer to the end of this year's season.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, and I don't know if he can do it, whether or not the Celtics should let him, you know, for fear of him re-injuring that Achilles. But there is some talk about it, so that's another wait-and-see type of thing, but something to keep on the radar.
I think that's dangerous. If he comes back too early, it's not worth it. I mean,
yeah.
You don't want to end your career for one season.
I don't think the core they have right now without him is capable of more than a play-in berth, so I don't know if it's worth bringing him back.
Definitely not. You saw him dunking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah. But beyond that, I think their trade with the Portland Trailblazers is pretty exciting. Obviously, it sent away a guy like Drew Holiday, who's a two-time champion, all-time great defender, a very great player, but he is getting older. And in return, you get a guy like Anfernee Simons, who's a pretty young guy.
Yeah.
And he's been pretty successful with the Trailblazers, and I think the Celtics organization can only bring him to greater heights.
Yeah, and they got off a lot of money, most importantly, with the new CBA. Got off of Drew Holiday's.
Yeah. Drew Holiday was owed a lot of
contract.
Money.
Got off of KP's big contract, which is very important with this new CBA. Anfernee Simons, he averaged 19.3 points, 42% field goal percentage, 36% three-point percentage, and 3 rebounds, 5 assists.
Yeah.
About 1 steal. Pretty good stats. Definitely think he'll be a plus guy on the Celtics. I don't know if he'll start alongside Derek White or maybe come off the bench in favor of their sixth man.
Peyton Pritchard, maybe.
But we'll see. It should be an interesting season. Season will definitely test Jaylen Brown's skill.
Yeah.
We'll see if he's a real guy or if they should move on from him also.
It's very much going to test his leadership role on the team. He's by far the most established guy left without Tatum playing.
Definitely. Next, the Brooklyn Nets. They had a pretty solid offseason. Traded for Michael Porter Jr. That was their biggest move. And got rid of Cam Johnson. I really like that for them, honestly. I think Michael Porter Jr., he's still relatively a young guy. He's probably still got room to grow. Even though he won't have the great passing from Jokic anymore, coming from the Nuggets, I think you could definitely blossom into a real guy, maybe even an all-star this year with the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow, yeah, Michael Porter Jr. is only 27 years old. I really didn't think he was that young. He definitely still has a lot of time left in him then. Obviously, he's known as a guy that doesn't pass the ball very much. But I think that works really well with this Nets team. They did just drafted like 8 guys this year. They had a lot of picks, and a lot of those they used on more like point guard type players. So he'll definitely start for them, I think. And if one of their new point guards, you know, emerges, then I think that he could definitely find a good role with that team and chuck up shots like he likes to.
Definitely, I mean. With Cam Thomas and Michael Porter Jr., I mean, we've got a team of shot chuckers on our hand.
Actually, speaking of Cam Thomas, oh no, he did return. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, it was Cam Johnson. They Cam lost Johnson to the, left.
Yeah,
the
Cam
Nuggets,
Thomas, yeah. Younger guy, shooting guard. They actually did not end up signing him to a long-term rookie extension, which is interesting. And he took the took a 1-year, $8 million deal, which is interesting. I mean, he averaged 24 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds. Which is interesting. Why would they not sign him to a long-term deal?
Yeah, they probably do have the most cap space of a lot of teams in the league. So that is interesting. I mean, if I were him, I probably wouldn't want to stay in Brooklyn.
No.
But, yeah, they've not been the greatest franchise, but, you know.
Last season, he did have a very high usage rate. He had 32%, which is pretty crazy. He was just taking a lot of crazy shots, so maybe they recognize that this production isn't really... He can't replicate this if he was on a real serious team. But they do have an exciting year of tanking, probably, ahead of them.
Exciting year of tanking, and I think they've got a lot of young guys, especially out of the draft this year. And we'll cover that if we do a draft recap sometime, because they probably had one of the more interesting drafts of anybody in the league.
Yeah.
But they definitely got some exciting guys. Danny Wolf, big fan. They're going to be an interesting team to watch. I don't think they're even making the play-in, but it'll be fun tanking to watch.
Yeah. They also got Terrence Mann and Hayward Highsmith. Terrence Mann coming from the Hawks and Highsmith coming from the Heat. Two interesting forward-type guys. Could be productive. That's it for the Nets. Next, the Charlotte Hornets, who pretty quiet offseason. Besides drafting...
Con Knuppel,
Yeah. They didn't really have that much. They lost Nurkic. They signed Mason Plumlee, and they lost Mark Williams with a trade to the Suns. Not pretty mediocre offseason, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, one of your biggest signing is Mason Plumlee in 2025.
Yeah.
Can't really say much about that.
Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe.
Yeah. Don't think they're going to be really good next year.
I'm very surprised that that Mark Williams trade ever cleared, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
He failed the physical for that, like, mid-season trade to the Lakers right after the Luka trade. So I wonder, like, what happened between then and this offseason for him to be healthy enough to clear that trade.
Yeah, I wonder if we're ever going to find out about why that happened.
Maybe Adam Silver put the call in and said, don't trade the Lakers a center. I think one thing for the Hornets that is important to think about is they did lose their, reigning Rookie of the Year candidate in Brandon Miller for most of last season.
Yeah.
In any year that didn't have Wemby in it, he probably would have been the Rookie of the Year. I think he was very good for them in his rookie year. And unfortunately, just due to injury, he missed most last year. So getting him back will be a pretty big deal to pair alongside LaMelo. And that'll be exciting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Next, the Chicago Bulls. Also a pretty mediocre offseason.
Yeah, very, very mediocre.
Really
their biggest deal was definitely re-signing Josh Giddey, which I don't know if it was a little bit of an overpay. They gave him quite a bit of money, but...
25 a year, $100 million four-year contract. I'd say pretty good in an era of guys getting crazy deals. I'd say he probably got what he deserved. He had a pretty good season last year also.
Yeah. Other than that, their only like real addition was the Isaac Okoro trade for Lonzo Ball. So,
yeah, and they lost in that trade, I'd say. Lonzo, he's still a pretty good guy, even after
healthy,
all these
though.
Injuries. Yeah, but he's still positive point guard. I think he'll be really good for the Cavs. So next, the Cavs. They got Lonzo Ball from the Bulls. They got Larry Nance Jr. and Thomas Bryant. I'd say pretty quiet offseason for the Cavs, but
yeah,
it makes
sense. Net positive, but pretty quiet.
Makes sense coming off of their loss to the Pacers, which was kind of a choke job, but also Darius Garland was injured, struggling with a foot injury throughout that series. And maybe they attribute some of it to some of their guys being injured, some of it to the lights maybe being a little bit too bright for some of these guys. But with Lonzo Ball, they get a really positive, when healthy, defensive point guard to bolster their bench. I think they could be, they could put together another really good season next year. We'll really find out if last year was a fluke or if maybe they're actually a serious contender this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think they could definitely be in contention for a top two or three seed this year. It comes down to health. You know, does reigning defensive player of the year Evan Mobley keep it up as well? But I think they have a really exciting team, and they're definitely in contention, especially in this East. Put them in the West, and, you know, maybe they're almost a play-in team. Yeah. But, you know, in the East, they're probably a top three seed. All right.
Wait. The Bulls?
No, the Cavs.
Oh, the Cavs. Oh, my God. The Cavs. The
Bulls,
Cavs.
Bulls are not making the playoffs in the West.
Yeah, no.
They're 15 in the West. Okay.
Next, the Mavericks.
Yeah.
They had a elite offseason. Elite because of luck.
Luck, honestly. Luck or Adam Silver, depending on who you ask.
They lucked into the greatest, out of the odds, an elite first pick in Cooper Flagg. Pretty good guy coming into the league, I mean.
Yeah, everything I've seen out of this guy in the preseason has been stellar. There are definitely areas he needs to work on, especially with his offense. But, I mean, for a guy that he played, what, 1 year in college,
yeah,
right? Like
19 so he's, years old.
He's basically, like, fresh out of high school. You know, the NBA just doesn't let you draft players from high school anymore. Like,
or no, 18 years old. I stand
he's 18?
Corrected.
Yeah, wow.
18.
Yeah. I mean, they just happen to get lucky and land, you know, one of the greatest draft prospects in modern history, so.
I think it was like a 4%.
Yeah, it was 1.8%. Yeah.
I mean, insane odds.
Yeah. That they, like, realistically, like, did not deserve.
No, not
like,
at all.
They were bad purely by their own fault.
Yeah.
My issue with this offseason is I just hesitate to call it good with, like, the lingering memory of the Luka trade. Like,
yeah.
I feel like in my mind I have to count that as part of the offseason, and that really taints anything that happens. But they did get D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Which
they signed some good guys. Re-signed.
They extended some of their guys. Kyrie got a 3-year extension. PJ Washington.
The Kyrie extension, I think, is crazy.
Yeah. Giving Kyrie money and
$120 million extension for a guy who just tore his Achilles. He's in his late 30s.
I mean, if you think about it,
early 30s.
The 2016 Cavs championship he won with LeBron was almost 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in the league for a really long time, and he's getting up there in age, coming off major injuries. It's a very risky deal to extend him like that.
But they should have an interesting year with Cooper, Flagg, and AD.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see the Anthony Davis has to wear, like, the
goggles? Yeah, he has to wear the goggles now, yeah.
So he'll be out there looking like
Kareem,
yeah.
Next, the Denver Nuggets, who had a pretty good offseason as the NBA pundits have been saying.
Yeah, I'd definitely say, like, net positive for this offseason.
Especially for a team with negative depth like the Nuggets did last year. Signing Bruce Brown to a 1-year minimum, Tim Hardaway Jr. also to a 1-year deal, getting Cam Johnson, and signing Jonas Valanciunas, four guys who are pretty so-so, but still.
Yeah, I mean, Valanciunas is going to be the best backup center they've had in a while, I'd say. And that'll be really nice to have somebody backing up Jokic, I think.
Yeah, I mean, last year they had DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan, who he's not officially retired yet, but he's not on a team, so he might as well be.
He didn't really play that much for center as center for them last year. Having any backup center for them will be great improvement from what they've been rocking with. Bruce Brown back with the Nuggets after a minor departure. He'll be good for them off the bench. Tim Hardaway Jr. also good. 3-point guy. Chuck up a couple shots. If he's hot, he can do good things for them. If he's off that any night, probably not so good for them. Cam Johnson, found that trade interesting for Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting trade. I think the Nuggets probably got the better of this trade. But there were things for both teams, right? Both teams. So Cam Johnson last year averaged 18.8 on 47.5% field goal shooting, 39% three-point shooting, 4.3 rebounds, and 3.4 assists. So very much a shooting-first type of guy.
Yeah.
His numbers were up a lot from the previous year, though. He averaged about 5 more points per game, which is a pretty significant number, and then a whole extra assist per game. So I think this is really a guy that could thrive with Jokic's playmaking and passing ability. And I think he could be really good with the Nuggets this year.
Definitely. I mean, when you're playing with a guy as great as Nikola Jokic, who can really uplift the guys around him, I think all of these guys could have really good years. We saw that with Bruce Brown. When he was on the Nuggets, he was a pretty good player. When he left, he was not the same without the Jokic passing. With the Nuggets, he averaged 11 points, 48% field goal, 35% three-point shooting, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. If you could get stats like that again this year, I mean, you'd been for a pretty good year off the bench with these guys. So, it's the Nuggets. Next, the Detroit Pistons, who had a pretty interesting offseason also, I'd say.
Yeah, their offseason, it was pretty interesting. In my opinion, the most notable thing is what happened with Michael Beasley.
Yeah.
His name, right?
Malik Beasley?
Malik Beasley, yeah. Which is a pretty messed up situation, to be honest, where he was being investigated by prosecutors for allegations of gambling on games, I believe, which was proven to be false. He was totally innocent. But he did lose out on a very big deal with the Pistons because of that. And I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't
like
believe he's signed anywhere.
Multi-million. No, he hasn't signed yet.
Yeah, he's unsigned. And he really did. Last year, he had a really good year. He jumped up about 5 points per game, on very efficient, 41.6% three-point shooting. And that's not only a big loss for him, he lost out on $100 million something contract.
Yeah, I feel I would.
And it's a big loss for the Pistons,
definitely,
too. A big, like, spot-up shooter type of guy.
He was one of the leaders in the league in three-pointers last year also.
Yeah.
I think leader in threes off the bench, so.
Yeah, leaders in three and one of the most efficient.
Pretty big loss
shooting
for them,
guys,
but
yeah.
They got Duncan Robinson with a 3-year deal via a sign-and-trade from the Heat, which is a pretty good replacement. Duncan Robinson, he's been a pretty good guy for the Heat. Last year, he averaged 11 points, 40% three-point percentage, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, half a steal. Pretty good replacement for Malik Beasley. They also got Caris LeVert for a 2-year deal, and they signed Javonte Green to a 1-year deal. They also did lose Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Nuggets, but I'd say, and Dennis Schroeder, but with Cade possibly progressing, Jalen Duren also.
Jaden Ivey as well.
Jaden Ivey getting better. I think they could definitely have another interesting year. Also, can't forget Asar Thompson.
The Thompson twins, and Asar especially, I think they've just been so, so good since they came into the league, and they get better every year. So they he'll be very exciting to watch.
Definitely.
And especially just because this really is anybody's East. Like,
yeah.
If the rookies come through for this team, or the younger guys, who'd they draft this year? The Pistons. But yeah, if the younger guys come through, this team is for sure a contender.
They drafted Chaz Lanier with the 37th pick in the second round. They did not have a first-round pick this year, but I think, and in the East, where it is really anyone's league, where pretty much anything could happen with those seedings, Pistons could have another interesting year, definitely. Next, the Golden State Warriors, who had a pretty bad flame out in the playoffs with Curry's injury to the Rockets. They had a pretty underwhelming offseason, actually, I'd say. Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, if this were, like, 7 years ago, maybe it would have been an amazing offseason, right?
Yeah,
like,
7 years ago, I mean,
Al Horford, Seth Curry, right? But, I mean, Al Horford is creeping up on 40 at this point. Seth Curry, I loved him when he was on the Sixers, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I'm not sure he really got signed to the Warriors for any other reason than being Steph's brother.
He's a vibes guy.
Yeah, I mean, in 2025, I don't know if he can be a super contributing member to a, you know, a playoff team. With Al Horford, I mean, we've seen his stats take a notable fall off in the past few years. He only had nine points per game last season. 42.3% field goal and 36.3% from the three. For a center, that is pretty good.
Yeah. And he gives them some size that they haven't really had.
Yeah, because they've been running Draymond at center. Like, they really haven't had too much size. So he will give them some size. But with his age, it will be a question of how many. I mean, he played 27.5 minutes per game for the Celtics last year. If he can keep that up, I think he can be a really productive member of this team.
Definitely.
But if his pacing just takes a step down, then that could be a problem.
And he also gives them that shooting, because with starting Jimmy and Draymond, they don't have a lot of shooting. So having a...
Yeah, his underrated three-point ability as a center will be very nice.
And space the floor is really important. They also got re-signed Gary Payton the second to a one-year deal. They got D'Anthony Melton on a one-year deal, and Kuminga, who was holding up their entire offseason, he recently signed to a two-year deal. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that was an interesting deal. He wasn't even there for media day. I think he signed after media day.
Yeah.
And I don't... Was it like 25 a year, I think?
Two-year, 48.5 million.
2 years, 48, yeah, so about 24 a year.
But the second year has a team option.
Yeah, where it's like you can just blow it up in year two, right? So I don't hate the deal for either side, but just like the way it happened with holding up the whole offseason, you know, it wasn't a great look for the team. It held everything up. It maybe prevented them from making other moves that they could have made, trade and signing wise. So it's just like, seems maybe a little bit selfish on his part, right? Does he want to be a team player, that kind of thing. But I like the signing for the Warriors, you know.
Also interesting that no other teams with cap space tried to sign him.
Yeah, I'm surprised like there wasn't a sign and trade attempt with this.
Yeah, maybe we'll see a mid-season trade. Yeah.
This if things are going badly for the Warriors, this could be a trade deadline type of guy that you get rid of, cuz he's still young.
I'm surprised that they don't want to keep going with him. I mean, I guess he doesn't really fit their timeline now with Curry, Draymond, Jimmy, Horford. Yeah. Clearly they're becoming
would you say
home.
They're in a win now, like, type
definitely
of
I like, mean
yeah. I because Curry probably doesn't have that many years left in him.
Yeah, he's
I feel
really
like
old.
Maybe at the most three.
He's turning 39 this season.
Is he?
Or 38 this season in March. So he's getting up there. Still a really good player.
Yeah,
I mean, they're still a great team. They won the title just like three-ish years ago.
2022.
Yeah. So anything could really happen in this league of parity. But
I will say, in this West, if they were in the East, maybe. But
yeah,
in this West, they could end up fighting for a play-in spot.
Yeah.
Maybe like a 9 seed. That kind of thing.
Yeah, with their guys getting worse.
Yeah, or if they lose someone big to injury midseason, it could be rough for them in the West. That's what's really unfortunate about the current NBA is like Marcus said, this is like the league of parity right now. We've had a different champion for all of the last 7 years, but the West right now is so like unfathomably stronger than the East.
Yeah.
That it's just really unfortunate for teams, especially with Cooper Flagg going to the West, right?
Yeah. It's,
like, that's insane.
It's really
well, actually, both the top two picks went to the West because Dylan Harper at 2 went to the Spurs, which we'll get to when we talk about the Spurs later. But both of those guys who are like real, like, plug and play guys who are going to be, like, legit additions in their rookie years. Going to the West it's just really rough.
Next, we're going to talk about the Rockets, who had the biggest offseason.
Yeah, I'd say they had the biggest offseason of any team.
They got Kevin Durant via a 7-team trade, which is pretty crazy.
Am I correct in saying this was the most teams involved in a trade in NBA history? I feel like I saw that.
So.
I don't know. Maybe I got sent-held. But seven teams is... seven teams is a lot. Why don't you talk...
Rockets, they also got Clint Capella...
Mm-hmm. Off the Hawks.
For a 3-year
Dorian Finney-Smith from the Lakers. I think they got him on a pretty good deal as
Josh
well.
Josh Okogie. So they got a lot of depth.
Yeah. They
And with KD in and Jalen Green out, who still a pretty young guy, like in his early 20s. But he wasn't able to really hold up his offense in the offseason, and he wasn't like a go-to guy. Like last year, if... I wouldn't say they had a guy that you could just give the ball 5 seconds on the clock and get a shot for you.
Yeah, like maybe that guy's Jalen Green at some points, but
he was so like hit or miss.
Yeah,
like,
and he's also, you know, he was the price of that Kevin Durant trade. They did re-sign a lot of their guys as well. They got Steven Adams on a 3-year deal, which He's going to be a consistent, ideally backup center for you, probably, maybe behind Clint Capella. Re-signed Jabari Smith Jr. on a 5-year deal. Re-signed Fred VanVleet on a 2-year deal, which, very unfortunately, he tore his Achilles ACL. He had some injury earlier this offseason, and he will be missing the entire season, which...
really unfortunate for them.
Very unfortunate for the Rockets. And it actually does leave them, in my opinion, in a very interesting state because he was the only real point guard on their roster, I think. And, you know, it's hard to win without a point guard.
No, definitely.
And Kevin Durant is aging. He can only carry you so much. And so I don't know really what their solution is for that, but... yeah, that'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, obviously you have Kevin Durant. Like
one of the greatest, you know, just pure scorers of all time. Last season he averaged 27 points, 52% field goal percentage, 43% from three, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and about a steal. So really good stats. He's turning, he's 37. He just turned 37 September 29th. So he's up there in age, but he's still putting up good stats. With that age, though, probably won't be playing 82 games like Jalen Green did last year, which pretty big loss. I feel like he'll probably play around 60. Last season he played 62, so they'll probably want to pace him because they'll be expecting a long postseason, but still getting one of the greatest scorers of all time at 37 years old.
Yeah.
For Jalen Green and a couple of picks.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, this is another team like the Warriors where if you put them in the East, I'd say for sure they're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
In this West, with the lack of a point guard they have right now, this could be a kind of similar situation to Kevin Durant's situation on the Suns. Honestly, they lacked a point guard, or at least like a good one, for a lot of his tenure there. And, you know, they were missing the playoffs, right? Play-in some years, maybe. Like,
I don't think Van Vliet's that big for them, though. With the guys they got, they've got some elite defenders. They've got crazy size. Did you see that lineup that
they do have one of the tallest lineups in the league. So they're very big.
Yeah, last season they were running Steven Adams with Şengün.
I think when you lack like a super efficient playmaker that it's rough to it's hard to succeed in this year's in this year's league. West.
Well, you could see a mid-season trade. They've definitely got a couple of guys
have some young guys.
Yeah.
We haven't talked yet about Amen Thompson on there, the other half of the Thompson twins. He is probably the worst Thompson twin, but that's not like taking anything away from him. He is absolutely stellar, super athletic guy, and he's going to be really good for them this year. And I'm super excited to see what he puts out.
Yeah, they should have an interesting year. I'd say they were probably one of the bigger winners of this offseason.
Yeah, for
with
sure.
With the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Rockets had a pretty good offseason.
Yeah. Now,
next, the Pacers. Or next, we're going to have a PSA about organ donation. There are many social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. It saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor or you are someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. This has been a public service message from MatchingDonors.com and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Thank you. And back to our broadcast.
All right. Thank you for that PSA, Marcus.
Next, we're going to talk about the Pacers.
Yeah, so this is a bad offseason for them. I think
truly
very objectively,
terrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
So they lost their biggest free agency loss is by far Miles Turner.
Who was the biggest free agent this year.
Yeah, honestly, he probably was the biggest free agent in this. I mean, this free agency class was not great.
No.
I mean, that's a huge loss. I don't know who their real starting center would be right now.
I think
besides
it's Jay Huff.
Jay Huff shouldn't be the starting center for a team in
2025.
Yeah.
That was their big.
Yeah, I mean, they brought back James Wiseman and Isaiah Jackson.
Not really.
Yeah.
Serious.
And
they lost
their star and Haliburton out for the year, right? And I mean, he literally got injured just about as late in the season as possible.
I mean, truly devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating end of their season.
Yeah.
Game 7. They could have won the game. I mean,
Hallie was.
He
was
going
crazy
off. Yeah.
Before he got hurt.
And then he just tore his Achilles. I was watching. I was devastated for him. He was crying.
Yeah.
They lost their best player to an injury, and now they
lose probably
lose
their second
center.
Best player to free agency.
Yeah.
To
the Bucks, no less.
Yeah.
Their biggest
to their
rival.
Rivals.
I mean,
you just got to think about the mental toll that that takes on a locker room too. The Pacers probably aren't making the. I mean, look, it's
I don't
they're in
they could
they're
make
in the East.
Playoffs. The East
they could sneak a play-in spot.
But
it really is so unfortunate. Like the way the East is right now.
That the Pacers.
The Pacers really shouldn't be a.
Then
yeah.
The word playoffs.
They
the
don't belong
sentence.
In the same
that
sentence.
Yeah,
but you
no.
know, it's possible.
Next, my LA Clippers.
Yeah, you got
who,
this. One
who had one of the best off seasons? I'd say just objectively. So they re-sign Nico Batum to a 2-year deal. Nico Batum, he is up there in age. We re-signed James Harden to a 2-year extension on a pretty good contract. James Harden, he had an elite season last year. He was All-NBA third team. He averaged around 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists. His efficiency fell off, but he was doing a generational carry job. He shot 41% from the field and 35% from 3. He's an older guy, but re-signing him to a 2-year deal, really good signing. Also got Bradley Beal to a 2-year deal, $5 million with a player option, which is
yeah,
a steal.
They got him very cheap because I believe he was bought out by the Suns.
Yeah, he was
correct?
Bought out, yeah.
And buyouts in the current collective bargaining agreement is something I think we you could spend hours talking about it, so we don't have that much time. But that's something we'll talk about eventually with the modern NBA. Because we saw a lot of big buyouts this year. Bradley Beal, DeAndre Ayton, I think, was the biggest in NBA history. It was, I think, over $100 million.
Yeah, and Dame.
And Dame, yeah. Dame was a big buyout for the Bucks. So that's a tangent, but it's a very interesting thing.
Beal just turned 32. Last season he averaged 17 points, 50% from the field, 39% from 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. So really positive guy bring in. The Clippers also brought in John Collins via a trade from the Jazz, and in that trade they lost Norman Powell. So Bradley Beal, he really replaces Norman Powell as that 3-point shooting guard, and he's a good self-creator. He can create shots for himself and his teammates. This is probably his first real winning situation, I'd say,
in a while. He's been on Washington and he's been in Phoenix, neither of which have really been Bradley Beal, right?
Yeah, Bradley Beal.
Washington and Phoenix really haven't been winning situations while he's been there. So this is probably his best chance at making a playoff run. And we'll see if he's built for the bright lights, you know?
Yeah. John Collins, forward from the Utah Jazz. He's 28 years old. Last season, he averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Pretty big guy, pretty old school power forward type of build. Bulky guy, get in the paint, get rough with it, get some rebounds, get some second chance
points.
The
Clippers could really use a guy like that. So I think
they were running Kawhi at the forward and Nico Batum, who's really a small forward. He was playing center and power forward last year.
Speaking of Kawhi, do we have to talk about that? No? Okay. We'll see how much he plays this season. You know?
Brooke Lopez agrees to a 2-year deal. Brooke Lopez, he was one of the bigger free agents on the market. I was really surprised when the Clippers got him, actually. I thought he was going to the Lakers for sure, even though he is 38.
I mean,
he's still a plus guy.
I'd say the Clippers front court took a massive step up this year because when you add guys like John Collins and Brooke Lopez to take some of the load off of Zubac, like I think their front court took like a really big step up.
Already a pretty elite front court with Zubac.
Yeah, Zubac had a great season last year. Definitely took a step up. So the Clippers could really be contenders this year. Again,
I think they are.
Again, this is a rough West, right?
Yeah.
So if James Harden gets injured or something like that, you could be in a dicey situation. But they could be real serious contenders in the West this year.
Most importantly, the Clippers gained a healthy Kawhi in the offseason. This is the first time in years where he's played in the preseason. Last year, he didn't come in till around February. He only played 37 games. So this year, if the Clippers could get like 60 games out of Kawhi, 70, they could really have a serious year. And
yeah,
push.
For sure. Kawhi's health is going to be very important to this team.
The Lakers next. The other team in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I honestly,
this offseason really...
It really disappointed me, to be honest.
Really disappointing.
So they did extend Luka, which is very nice, right? Keep him in LA for a while longer. It was a 3-year deal. They brought back Jackson Hayes, which I guess you need to have a center, but he's just straight up not very good. And everyone said, well, you know, the Lakers need a center. And who do they go and get? DeAndre Ayton.
I thought they were going to get Horford or Lopez.
Yeah, Horford, Lopez, or Turner.
Turner, but they got
all those guys.
Ayton?
Yeah. It's, you know, I sent you this the other day, that quote where they asked DeAndre Ayton, and this was like a week ago. So he's been on the team for months at this point.
Yeah.
They asked him, like, what's it like working out with, like, Luka and LeBron? And he was like, I wouldn't know. I haven't done it yet. I'm like, come
on,
man. Like,
that's crazy.
And especially, like, a guy like Ayton is, like, with the LA media, is not going to work out.
Definitely not.
Because, like, realistically, there are a lot of times where he's out there on the court and he's not giving full effort. And, you know, he makes a lot of excuses and, like, it's just, I fear, like, it's destined to not end well.
Yeah, I fear he's going to get it from the fans.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Former number one overall pick last year with his campaign with the Blazers, he averaged 14 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, bad a steal. He could be a good center for the Lakers compared to Jackson Hayes last
year.
Yeah, I
mean, look, he's better than anything they had last year post-Luka trade. And, you know, just by the fact of having Luka and LeBron when he comes back healthy, hopefully sometime in November, he's about a 3-4 week injury right now.
I do worry about their defense, though.
Yeah.
With DeAndre Ayton starting at center, Austin Reeves... shooting guard,
Luka, point guard, LeBron at
small forward. Rui probably a power forward.
Yeah.
They have no defense anymore because they lost Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, losing DFS was a very big, very big deal.
They did get Marcus Smart, the former DPOY from the Celtics.
But Smart is up there in age,
and
I think he missed a lot of last season with injury, right?
15 games played last season with the Wizards. 20 in 2023-24.
Is he on the Wizards last season?
Yeah, he got traded.
I forgot about it. I thought he was still on the Grizzlies.
He got traded midway.
Okay.
So he played. He did play 34 games last year, but I worry, will he be able to... If he could get back to Defensive Player of the Year level, I mean, he could somewhat make up for their deficiency in the...
I remember always hating watching Marcus Smart play the Sixers, because he is, unlike DeAndre Ayton, he will go out there and give, you know, 110% every time he's on the court. I think he won, like, the Hustle Player of the Year award sometime, I think. And if he can get past injuries and age to get back to, like, his old self, he will be great for them. But just unfortunately for him, I think those could be severe inhibitors to his success in L.A.
Lakers also got Jake LaRavia to a 2-year deal, which could be interesting for them. Next, the Memphis Grizzlies, who had a pretty interesting offseason, I'd say. They got Santi Aldama to return on a 3-year deal. Jaren Jackson Jr. signed a 5-year extension, which is good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren is probably one of their biggest pieces now.
For sure, yeah. Especially with, I think Ja got injured pretty recently.
Did he?
Yeah.
Or he is, he is always just getting some sort of injury.
There's always, or suspension or something, right? There's always something.
They added Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with a trade via the Magic, which was one of the biggest trades this offseason. I was shocked by that trade, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
They lost Desmond Bane in that trade, but they got like 4 or 5 first-round picks, which I think is crazy. Yeah, 4 future first-round draft picks, and one draft pick swap, which is a lot for
I think Desmond the Magic Bain, severely think. Overpaid for Desmond Bane.
Yeah, they got the Grizzlies really got a really good deal with that. Four first round picks, one swap. I mean, that's crazy to me.
So according to Sports Illustrated, Ja Morant remains week to week with an injury that continues to linger. It's looking like, in all likelihood, he might not be there for the season opener. So that is a very big loss for them. Hopefully he comes back.
I think it might be another tank year.
Yeah.
Like a 23-24 year for them. Yeah. Because losing Desmond Bane, no Ja, KCP still is a pretty good guy, but last year he had a noticeable fall off, leaving the Nuggets, losing the Jokic effect. He saw a noticeable decrease in efficiency, going from 40% with the Nuggets to 34%, 10 points to 8.7. So maybe he'll have a bounce back year with the Grizzlies. They also lost Luke Kennard. To the Hawks. So next, the Miami Heat. We're just going to go by through some of the lesser offseasons a little faster.
Yeah, the Heat, it was a pretty not great offseason. Biggest signing was probably Precious Achiuwa and then maybe Norman Powell from
the
Clippers.
I'd say I really like the Norman Powell trade.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They traded away pretty much nothing for him. They traded away Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson, and they got back a guy, Norman Powell, who I think could be an all-star this year, truly. In this Eastern Conference, which, as we've said, not to sound like a broken record, very weak, puny Eastern Conference, on a team where he can chuck shots up to his heart's content like he did last year on the Clippers, he could average, like, 24 points. Last year, he averaged 22 points on 48% field goal, 41.8% from three. Only three rebounds and two assists, so clearly he is a chucker, shooting pretty much. That's all he does bring, but he's a really good shooter.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And the Heat will, I think, for sure make some sort of playoff, play-in type deal for sure. But they're just not going to be great, and I don't think they have what it takes to make a deep playoff run.
Definitely not.
So moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, this is just like a comically bad team.
Truly.
Outside of, I mean, so first off, like the biggest news of the offseason, Alex Antetokounmpo got signed to the Bucks.
Breaking news.
I mean, it is the clearest case of doing anything possible to keep Giannis from, you know, filing that trade request keep him in Milwaukee, which is only going to last for so long. I mean, it is kind of funny. It's actually the first time three brothers have ever been signed to the same team at one time, but
yeah, I mean, we got the Bronny James effect now.
Yeah, no, this is the Bronny. Well, maybe it should be the other way around, bro, because Thanasis has been on the Bucks for a while.
He tore his ACL last year, I think.
Yeah,
he
missed
the year
last
off,
year.
But maybe with the power of brotherhood, the Bucks can somehow salvage this.
I mean, like, they got Miles Turner. Yeah, their front court's pretty good, Miles Turner and Giannis, but the back court is bad.
Kevin Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
And probably Gary Trent Jr.?
Yeah, no, it's not good.
They re-signed all their guys. Kevin Porter Jr. on a two-year deal. Bobby Portis, three-year extension.
I mean, none of those guys are particularly young.
Torian Prince,
well,
two-year deal. Yeah. And Gary Trent Jr., two-year deal. The biggest news that they made was when they waived Dame's contract.
Yeah, they bought him out.
I was shocked by that, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. But it was nice for Dame. You know, he gets to have a reunion in Portland. And
I would be kind of like, I mean, I'm sure he's happy because he gets to go home to his family in Portland. But getting waived?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a really good guy. And waiving that, they put, like, I think $30 million or $20 million on their cap for two extra years, which I think really they are really just doing anything to not lose Giannis.
Also, big loss was Brook Lopez going to the Clippers. They definitely made up for it getting Miles Turner, but that is a big loss.
Miles Turner is basically a Brook Lopez replacement.
Yeah,
younger, better. But still pretty big loss for the fans, at least.
The T-Wolves had
very quiet offseason.
Yeah, very quiet. Re-signed Julius Randle, 3 years. Nas Reed, 5 years. I mean, Nas Reed is, like, you know, beloved in Minnesota.
Yeah, five-year deal, pretty good.
Yeah, only addition being Johnny Juzang is pretty rough, though.
Yeah. And loss of Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
You lose Walker. Yeah. That's a pretty big loss. That definitely outweighs adding Juzang.
I know they were in the KD contention, and I think if they got KD, that would have been nice, but yeah. They did not get KD. So maybe they'll be a contender for a big midseason deal, but we'll see with them.
Yeah. New Orleans Pelicans, I mean, this team is honestly probably like a laughingstock in the West.
Genuinely.
It's pretty bad. They re-signed Herb Jones, who's a great defender. But they added Kevon Looney and like Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey.
Very underwhelming.
Yeah, super underwhelming. And you lose a guy like CJ McCollum, who's very good. You lose a guy like Bruce Brown to the Nuggets. I will say to their defense,
Bruce Brown, he was like the cornerstone piece in that trade with the Raptors for what's his name? Shoot.
I don't know. I will say to the Pelicans' defense, Zion has looked great this offseason.
Brandon Ingram, that's what I was thinking.
And
Kelly Olynyk, who's the other centerpiece to that trade, but yeah.
And Kelly Olynyk in 2025, like.
Yeah.
But like Zion he's been, you know, doing and saying all the right things this offseason, and
looking skinnier for sure.
He's been looking super, super thin. If he can get his health right and he can play ideally north of like 70 games, maybe, like, he could be very, very good.
Yeah, but with his track record, he's missed like 50% of his career games. Like, don't really think the Pelicans will be a serious contender this year.
Yeah. Next. So, the New York Knicks. You want to take this
one? I think they had a really good offseason.
Yeah, you guys can't see this right now, but Marcus is wearing a New York Knicks jersey.
Yeah, wearing
in the
a
studio,
cat jersey.
So.
I mean, they got Mikal Bridges to a 4-year extension on a pretty good deal, which is good to lock up their guys long term. The Knicks, the number one reason they lost to the Pacers in the conference finals, they really were only running like 7 guys that were good at most. They had Brunson, Cat, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Deuce McBride, and Mitchell Robinson. 7 guys. They were 7 like decent guys, but in the offseason they got Malcolm Brogdon, they signed Jordan Clarkson, and they signed Gershon Yabusele, which are 3 really elite guys to bring off your bench, I think. Yabusele coming from the Sixers, right? He was really good with them last year, right?
Yabu had a lot of playing time last year. You know, he was a guy who wasn't in the league for a pretty long time. He made a big impact last summer on the French national team, actually, during the Olympics. Got noticed, signed with the Sixers. I think he had a stellar year. I think he'll thrive in New York. And I also think the Jordan Clarkson signing cannot be underrated. Clarkson is a great 6-man.
Yeah, and he was bought out from the Jazz. Last year averaged 16 points, 40% from the field, 36 from 3 rebounds, 4 assists. I think a guy where coming off the bench in a limited role on any given night, he gets super hot. Yeah. That'd be really good for the Knicks. But
And I really think when you consider your only real loss here was Precious Achiuwa –